Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in security.
Your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Mr. Clean.
So a friend told me about Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, and his exact words were, "It changed my life."
I used to spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to remove tomato sauce from inside our microwave and soap scum off the bathtub.
It's like seriously magic, and my secret weapon for cleaning the kitchen, bathroom, doors and walls, and even keeping my sneakers clean.
Mr. Clean Magic Eraser,
greatest invention ever.
Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, the unicorn of cleaning.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Perry, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol is producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you didn't think that the Grizzlies were going to go out to San Francisco, upset the Warriors, and secure a spot in the 7-8 game as opposed to fall to the 9-10 game, because that didn't happen yesterday.
No.
Steph Curry went big, as most assumed he would, and the Grizzlies lost by double digits to fall a game behind the Golden State Warriors, so they will be in the 9-10 game inside FedEx Forum on Wednesday. The opponent will be the San Antonio Spurs, and the team had just announced that attendance will be increased to 40% capacity, thanks in part to last week's announcement from President Biden and the CDC. So we'll have around 40% capacity inside FedEx Forum Wednesday night. But boy, I wish the Grizzlies were playing on the road Wednesday instead of playing at home Wednesday.
Me too.
We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Drew Hill is going to be here. He covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Nobody better to talk to today about the Memphis Grizzlies than one of the Memphis Grizzlies beat writers. So we'll do that with Drew Hill. He's going to join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 444, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them an inspector who failed for years to spot a fracture that led to last week's sudden I-40 shutdown, has been fired and could face charges, Arkansas officials said earlier today. What a failure that person was. It's literally your job to look at a bridge. This is your job. You ready for what your job is?
Yeah.
It's your job to look at a bridge every once in a while and make sure everything's cool.
Yep. And I saw those old pictures. You can see that crack.
You can see that crack.
You can see that crack. I mean, you just got to have eyes.
You just have to have eyes. Worst bridge inspector ever. How did Arkansas hire the worst bridge inspector ever?
Man, I don't know.
We'll talk about that around 4:44. Sevier Wheeler, a point guard, transfer from Georgia, announced today he's going to play for John Calipari's Wildcats. Don't look now, but Coach Cal got him another team that's going to be heavily reliant on older players. That's new. Get you updated on that a little later on this hour. Quincy Guerrier, who is a transfer from Syracuse, announced today that he will announce his college choice on Thursday. The Tigers are one of four finalists. We'll get into that just before 5 o'clock. And Albert Pujols has found a new team. He's going to be a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So congrats to him. He doesn't really have to move Southern California to Southern California, but he gets to be on a better team. That sounds fun. Get into that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I will eventually do dinner to go. Get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the Memphis Grizzlies. Game 72, final game of the regular season. It was yesterday inside the Chase Center in San Francisco. Grizz Warriors. The stakes were clearly defined and very high. Win and you finish eighth in the West and play in the 7-8 game. That's where you want to be. Lose and you finish ninth in the West, play in the 9-10 game. That's not where you want to be. Put another way, win and you have about a 75% chance to make the playoffs. Lose and the odds drop to about 25%. Big, big difference. And this was widely viewed yesterday as the biggest regular season game in Grizzlies history. Nationally televised showdown with massive implications against an all-time great, Steph Curry, Dave Pasch, Hall of Fame broadcaster Doris Burke, on the call for ESPN. It was the game of the day in the NBA. And as I'm sure you know by now, it did not go well for the Grizzlies. The final score, Warriors 113, Grizz 101. In the simplest of terms, the Grizz got steffed up by Steph Curry.
It's funny because we sat in here on Friday and both kind of agreed, like, I think the Grizzlies probably have a better roster than the Warriors, but they have that dude.
They have that dude.
And it didn't matter.
He took 36 shots, the two-time MVP and three-time world champion, made 16 of them. Finished with 46 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Steph took 43.4% of Golden State's shots, scored 40.7% of Golden State's points. He was determined to be the determining factor in that game, one way or another. They were going to either win or lose because Steph Curry took 36 shots.
Yep.
And more than anything else, that was the difference in the game. And you had it exactly right. The Grizzlies, I do think, top to bottom, got a better roster. But yesterday, it became very clear what the problem was for Memphis. One team had Steph Curry. The other team did not have Steph Curry. Have I told a lie yet, Big Bet Bennett?
No, you haven't. And, you know, I think, obviously, Dylan fouling out yesterday, that really hurt you. I think Steph only had scored 11 against Dylan when Dylan was on him.
Well, Doris Burke pointed out in the after the first quarter that I think Steph was 0-4 in the first quarter when being guarded by Dylan Brooks, 4-5 against anybody else. The Dylan Brooks thing was it mattered. Him fouling out with that much time left on the clock in a tie game, it mattered. Back to Steph, finished 16-36 from the field, 9-22 from three, 5-6 from the free throw line. He had 7 twos, 9 threes, 5 ones. Added up, that's how you get to 46 points. You know, earlier this month, Ja Morant, reigning rookie of the year, said he believes he already is a top 5 point guard in the NBA. That's debatable at best. Though he clearly seems to be on the right track. But either way, yesterday, Steph Curry reminded him and everybody else what a top-five point guard looks like. And not just in this season, but of all time. A top-five point guard of all time. What does that look like? It looks like Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Those 36 field goal attempts, career high. The 22 three-point attempts, career high. It wasn't Steph's most efficient performance, but the future Hall of Famer properly understood the stakes were high and basically decided from the jump that given the makeup of the rest of his roster right now, he had to go big. So he went big.
Mm-hmm.
And now his Warriors are in the 7-8 game. And I don't know if you noticed this after the game, but I watched multiple interviews with Steph. And after the game, he kept calling yesterday's game playoff basketball. He kept saying, you know, this is playoff basketball and playoff basketball and playoff basketball and playoff basketball. Even though yesterday's game was not playoff basketball.
Right.
It was a regular season game. I thought that was interesting, the way he was talking about the game. I thought it was interesting the way he played in the game, but also interesting the way he talked about the game afterward. I thought it was interesting and notable. The Grizzlies more or less seem to treat it like a regular season game.
I think that's true.
Like it wasn't do or die.
Yeah.
Because it technically wasn't do or die. I think you saw Jonas tweet after last night, yesterday's loss. The goal hasn't changed, just the path has changed. Acknowledging, like, we can still do everything we were trying to do. And that is technically true. Yesterday wasn't do or die. But Steph clearly took a different approach because he knew, though it wasn't necessarily do or die, he understood that making the playoffs or not would likely be determined by yesterday's outcome. So we're going to spend a lot of time over the next couple days talking about the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be in the playoffs in the East? Who's going to be in the playoffs in the West? It's from a probabilities perspective, already figured out. And in the West, it was decided yesterday. If the Grizzlies win that game yesterday, they are projected to make the playoffs right now. But because the Grizzlies lost that game yesterday, they're now not projected to make the playoffs. Steph understood that. I'm not sure how many Grizzlies actually did. Steph understood the math on this thing. I'm Steph Curry. I'm amazing. 3 world titles, 2 MVPs, just won the scoring title. He understood the math on this. I'm amazing, but it doesn't matter how amazing I am. If we lose this game today, we probably aren't making the playoffs. If we win this game today, we probably are making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
From a numbers perspective, those statements are true. He understood that and played like it. I'm not sure how many members on that Grizzlies roster understood that to the extent that Steph understood it. The Grizzlies seem to play like, even if we lose this one, we still get the Spurs on Wednesday at home, and then we might just have to come back here next Friday and win it. That was one perspective. So, like, if we win it, great. But if we don't, we can still get to the playoffs. Steph understood, if I don't win this game today, probably not getting to the playoffs. If I don't win this game today, I'm playing the Spurs at home, but then I probably got to go to L.A. or Memphis next Friday, at which point I'm an underdog. So let's treat this like it's do or die, even though it's not, because what it is win it and you're probably going to be in the playoffs, lose it and you're probably not. You know, in some ways, yesterday's game was even bigger than a playoff game because it determined more than any single playoff game does. Steph, he approached it that way. The Grizzlies, for the most part, I don't think, did. And though it was nice to see them battle back from down 17 and actually take a 97-95 lead with 4:49 left, things were just too difficult, as you pointed out, after Dylan Brooks fouled out. You know, Dylan, he played Steph tough yesterday.
Yeah.
Caused problems, made things hard all game long. That's all you can do. That's all you can do with Steph Curry, just try to make things hard. You're not going to stop him.
No.
Just try to make things difficult. Dylan was physical. The size bothered Steph. He fought through screens, played him tough, caused problems, made things hard. Steph carved up pretty much everybody else on that roster. Dylan made things hard. So Dylan fouling out so early is a real turning point in the game. When Dylan Brooks fouled out, got his 6th foul, with 6:12 left in the fourth, it was 91-91. From there, Golden State went on a 22-10 run to win by 12.
Man.
So as a result, it'll be Lakers-Warriors in Wednesday's 7-8 game, Grizzlies-Spurs in Wednesday's 9-10 game. If you're interested, Lakers are listed as 4.5-point favorites over Golden State. Grizzlies are listed as 3.5-point favorites over San Antonio. So now, to make the playoffs, the Grizzlies must beat the Spurs at home on Wednesday and then either beat Steph or LeBron in an elimination game on Friday on the road. Good luck. It's not impossible.
No.
But it is improbable.
Sure.
Because it's guaranteed now. I mean, the NBA, I don't know whether they – like, if you tell them it'll work out the way they want it to work
right,
out,
right.
They're fine with it. Like, if you tell them, listen, LeBron's going to win on Wednesday, and then the Lakers are the 7th seed, and then Steph's going to win on Friday, and the Warriors are the 8th seed. If you tell them it'll work out the way they want it to work out, then I'm sure they're fine with it because they get a LeBron-Steph Wednesday night game and then get a LeBron or Steph elimination game on Friday.
Right.
That's great for the play-in. But, boy, you don't want to risk losing the Lakers or the Warriors.
No.
And now the only way the Grizzlies can get to the playoffs is to eliminate either the Warriors or the Lakers. You got to take care of business first Wednesday night inside FedEx Forum. But if you win that game, there's no way around it. There's only one or two games you're playing next. It's either Friday at Golden State against Steph Curry or Friday in L.A. against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Good luck. Not impossible, but it is unlikely. You know, in an alternate universe where the Grizz won yesterday, the Grizzlies would be playing the Lakers at Staples Center Wednesday night. Win that, and they're the 7th seed, set for a 7-game series with the Suns. Lose that, and they'd be back home on Friday for a game against either the Spurs or the Warriors. The Grizz could have had a win over LeBron or a home game against Steph this week. Instead, the Grizz got to beat the Spurs and then try to beat the Lakers or Warriors on the road to make the playoffs. Instead of needing to win just one more before they lose two, the Grizzlies now need to win two before they lose one. Again, not impossible, but it is improbable. And that's why yesterday's loss was frustrating, disappointing, because the outcome of that game was worth so much. Steph understood that. I'm not sure if the Grizzlies did, at least to the extent that Steph did. That said, don't ever forget this. It didn't have to come down to that game. 72 games in a regular season, they all count the same. How about not lose to Orlando and Detroit in a span of 6 days earlier this month?
That would have helped.
Those teams finished last and next to last in the East. The Grizz lost to both this month. You win those games? Follow me here. You win those games, and you enter yesterday's game with the Warriors with a record of 40-31. In that case, even if the Warriors beat you because Steph gets 46, you still finish 40-32, one game ahead of Golden State for 8. Yesterday's game didn't have to matter, but it did matter. And now, barring a surprise, the Grizzlies will not make the 2021 NBA playoffs. That's the truth. Barring a surprise, this will be the last week of the Grizzlies season. That's the truth. Now, I'll reserve judgment for what they're ready for and not ready for until after this week, because they could bounce back, win two games, and we're talking about they had this breakthrough that we all wanted them to have.
Right.
Let's give it a minute. But I did hear a lot of the Grizz just weren't ready for this right now talk, you know, throughout last night and today. And I guess that's possibly true, but it should be made clear exactly what we're talking about here. This wasn't a deal where the young Grizzlies scrapped to get the 8 seed, then played a 1 seed and got swept, and we say, well, what are you going to do? The 1 seed's a title contender. They got veterans and all-stars and future Hall of Famers, and the Grizz are a young team being led by a 21-year-old second-year player. They're not ready to take that jump. Like, that wasn't the situation yesterday. It's getting talked about like it was. Like, you know, the Grizzlies just weren't ready for that. That's not what they were dealing with. Yesterday, the Grizzlies weren't playing a contender. They were playing a team with an identical record as them. This wasn't Steph and Klay and KD and Draymond and whatever else. This was Steph Curry, not as great anymore Draymond, Andrew Wiggins, Kent Bazemore, and Kevon Looney. How good do you really have to be ready for that? Steph is amazing, but the rest of that team is just whatever. So to go down 17 and lose by 12 to that team, I think is disappointing and discouraging. On the other hand, as I've explained many times, teams being led by second-year players don't usually make the playoffs. That's something you also should remember. LeBron James didn't make the playoffs in year two. Kevin Durant didn't make the playoffs in year two. Steph Curry didn't make the playoffs in year two. So acting like it's crazy that Ja Morant might not get the Grizz to the playoffs in year two, that's a little nutty. Even great second-year players very rarely lead a team to the playoffs. A great second-year player can be a piece on a playoff team. That happens. But when your leader and best player is in his second year, that's not usually going to result in a playoff appearance. So that's important to remember as well. Can you be frustrated, disappointed by yesterday? And by the way, this season might end? Sure. But despite yesterday, and regardless of what happens the rest of this week, the Grizzlies have exceeded most expectations this season already. And that is important to remember as well. Even if I know it can be hard when Steph is raining threes and Andrew Wiggins is stick back dunking in the final minutes with no resistance whatsoever. Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. I'll talk to him about it next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Some things are just true. Like your local GEICO agent could save you hundreds. And also, you should never sneak up on a beekeeper.
Hey, beekeeper!
What the? Oh my gosh, my bees! Oh no, they're headed right for the balloon factory.
Your local GEICO agent could help you save 15% or more. It's just true.
For more than 15 years, Opox AC and Heating Services has been keeping the Mid-South
cool in the summer,
warm in the winter.
Opox is currently offering a furnace for half price with the purchase of a high-efficiency AC unit, a 10-year warranty on all parts and labor, and financing available as low as 0% for 3 years or 36 months. For fast and professional 24-hour heating and cooling services, count on Opox. Call 901-443-5153 or visit opox.com.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No. Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in security.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. We are hiring. We need plumbers, HVAC service technicians, and installers. Make up to $55 an hour with full health benefits, paid time off, 401k, and don't forget to ask about our sign-on bonus. Surround yourself with good people and good things will happen. Come join our team. Apply online at bestcarehomeservices.com. That's bestcarehomeservices.com.
Corky's is your home for authentic Memphis barbecue. Our dining rooms are open, or stop by our speedy drive-thru. Order your party packs today, starting at only $5.99 per person.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We're all on this planet together, so join Odyssey and find your one thing. When planning your summer vacation, pick a destination close to where you live to limit your use of fuel. Join Odyssey, and together each of us doing one thing makes a greener tomorrow. What's your one thing?
I'm Dr. Andrea Russo, a cardiologist. Maybe you're waiting to talk to your doctor right now. But if you're having an irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, don't wait. This could be a serious condition like atrial fibrillation, which can make you about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you're having these symptoms, don't wait. Talk to a doctor by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
Oh, what do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only 2 diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay? I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
Are you ready to finish the degree you started? Belhaven University is your Mid-South Christian University, and we're now back on campus. We offer accelerated curriculum for busy adults, and we will design a degree plan just for you. Whether you decide to attend one or two nights per week, there's never been a better time or an easier way to fit college into your schedule. Classes are forming right now. To discover more, call us at 662-253-8366 or visit us at 7111 Southcrest Parkway. Belhaven University is back on campus, ready to help you achieve your goals. So call us today.
Kraft Axe Throwing is your premier spot for casual or competitive axe throwing. Whether it's a night out with friends, casual or competitive, reserve your spot today. Now open. Reserve your lane now at KraftAxeThrowing.com. Use Radio 15 at checkout for 15% off.
Hey, it's Jason Smith, and Starting Stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very life.
The person whose job it previously was to inspect our bridge has been fired because that person appears to be terrible at bridge inspecting. That stupid fracture been there for years. It's been missed multiple times in multiple inspections. No excuse for that. We could all die. What if we were all dead right now? Get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. It's Drew Hill. Make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Drew Hill, it's GP. How you doing, man?
Good. I was thinking about becoming a bridge inspector.
I'm
pretty good at looking at things. My whole job is looking at things. I think I could look at a bridge and tell you if it's broken or not.
Like, put it in your resume. Like, listen, I enjoy having you at the Daily Memphian. You're a great guest. I love reading you. But, like, if it's better for your own life, put in your resume and just on the resume, just put, like, I'm confident I'm better than the last guy. Because I'm confident you are. How do you miss a big crack like that when it's literally your job to just look at a bridge and make sure that isn't there?
I've driven over that thing so many times. I used to, like, I live downtown, and the grocery situation down here sucks. So I used to drive over that thing every time I went to go get groceries. I've been over that thing, like, 50 times. I feel like I've cheated death now, like, 50 different times every time I've driven over that.
You're lucky to be alive. You and every other.
We all are.
We all are. We're all lucky to be alive. Yeah. And maybe that's the takeaway from this debacle is that there's a chance we might not be here anymore. So thank God we finally caught that fracture in that bridge, even if it took a couple of years too long to catch the fracture in the bridge. All right, let's talk Grizzlies. First, the big news from today, and that is that FedEx Forum is increasing capacity to around 40% for Wednesday's play-in game against the San Antonio Spurs. What more can you tell me about that?
Oh, yeah, I talked to a couple of people today about this decision. I was curious to know what the number was going to be, and they had a meeting as early as today talking with the Shelby County Health Department about what they were going to do. And ultimately, everything was considered here. I asked, you know, was a vaccine section considered? Was any, like, how did you reach this number of 40%? And I think it came as a collaborative effort, right? Not the Grizzlies saying, we think it should be this number, and then it coming, them countering and saying no, and then them trying to find some middle ground here. No, it came as a collaborative effort of like, all right, let's look around the league. Let's see what some of these other teams have done. San Antonio and Milwaukee were two teams that increased their capacity at the end of the season. They went roughly to 40%. And so the Grizzlies decided, all right, well, we'll just double our number, our current number. And the way that we'll do it is we'll just decrease from 6 feet apart to 3 feet apart, and we'll keep all the same rules in place. And voila, that's how you end up at the number where they are. And I think they're just excited to get more people in the building. I'm curious to find out how much of a difference this is really going to make in terms of atmosphere, because I got to be honest, I'm suspicious that it's not going to do very much.
Well, let me ask you this, because, and this might be what you're hinting at, 40% of FedEx Forum is more or less 7,000 people. Can they sell 7,000 tickets by Wednesday?
I hope so. It's a play-in game. I don't want to say yes or no. It didn't feel like they had the maximum capacity crowd for some of these games at the end of the season. Now, I don't really blame them, not wanting to go watch the Kings and the Grizzlies play when the Kings have nobody, you know, playing, and the games don't matter to half of the teams that the Grizzlies are playing against. They did matter for the Grizzlies. But I hope so. I think that they can get to 7,000. I'm just curious, like, is, because 3,500, it just doesn't really do it for me. Like, the piped-in crowd noise is still pretty obvious. It's delayed. It just doesn't feel normal. And I don't know if 7,000 is going to feel normal. It shouldn't feel normal. It's 7,000, right? I'm not trying to set some unrealistic expectation here. But the goal is to get it closer to normal. We'll see how close they can get it. I just don't know how big of a difference it's going to make. But it is good news that they're increasing it. So it'd be unfair to be critical of that decision, right? I mean, that, in the end, they're just doing what they think is safe. So I'm all for safety. Good with that. But in terms of creating an atmosphere that feels like the playoffs, just don't know if we're going to get it this year.
Talking to Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. I'm with you. I'm not going to criticize health officials. Like, I'm for, you know, more than a year now, I've been one of the people just consistently listening to the health officials and the scientists and not trying to pretend that I know more than they know. To the extent that I've talked about this a lot or a little, I've really just repeated what the scientists and the health officials have said. I'm not trying to come up with my own thoughts. I don't think I'm smarter than them about these things. But that said, there was a part of me that would have liked to seen the number go above 40%, because as the CDC and President Biden both said last week, if you're vaccinated, you should, for the most part, be cool. And at this point, the people who aren't vaccinated, you know, they are that way by choice, and they have made that choice. And I saw the head of CDC on, like, CBS Morning News the other morning, and she was talking about this, and she wouldn't put it this way, but what she basically said was, if you're vaccinated, you should be fine, and if you're not, you've made that choice, and it's time. We're getting close to time. If not, we're already there to stop worrying about you. She could obviously never say that, but that's what I heard, and that's sort of the way I feel. So, I'm not going to argue with health officials. If they've settled on 40%, fine with me. But if they would have gone larger, that would have also been fine with me, because at this point, if you're vaccinated, you've done what most smart people in this country believe is the smart thing. And if you're not vaccinated, like, it's on you. Good luck.
And don't you feel like most people have had ample time to go get vaccinated
in
this point?
In this market, yes.
You've had your chance.
Yes. In this market, yes. In some other markets across the country, the answer is no. But in this market, if you are not vaccinated by now, it is totally your decision. You have vaccine hesitancy for reasons that make no sense to smart people. But it makes sense to you. And so I don't, as I said many times last week, I don't care anymore. Like, you know, most of the people I care about in this world are vaccinated at this point. And so I'm ready to get on with it. Like, if you made it 100% capacity for FedEx Forum on Wednesday night, you know, that'd be fine with me. I understand it might not be fine with health department officials because of what that might mean for some unvaccinated. I'm tired of caring about the unvaccinated. I'm done with them.
I'm just finding it hard to believe that we're going to see some sort of spike at this point in the number of people getting vaccinated going up, because I feel like at this point you've either made up your mind, you're going to get vaccinated or you're not, or you're going to wait a year or a long period of time, right? I don't feel like there's much middle ground here. So I feel like you've either made the decision to get vaccinated or not to get vaccinated, and you're probably comfortable with whichever decision you made. And so you're probably comfortable going to a basketball game. I feel like that's just the case now. So, yeah, I don't pretend to be smarter than health officials, maybe bridge inspectors, but yes. I'm not smarter than health officials. So I'm not going to complain about 40%. That's fine. It's a big increase. It's double.
40% is fine with me. I'm with you. But here's my point. If they would have announced today, you know what? We're going 100%. Let's fill up FedEx Forum. I would not have been the person saying, I can't believe they're doing this. I'm like, you know what? Let's get on with it. Because I know there's some unvaccinated people listening right now. And their point, because I've talked to some, is that, hey, listen, I'm young. I'm healthy. I don't feel like I need this vaccine for whatever reason. Like, I think that's nonsensical. But I can also acknowledge that's how you feel. And if you're comfortable with it, why would I be uncomfortable with it? Like, I don't really care if you live or die or get sick or not. Like, it will have no impact on my life. There's maybe 20 people in this world who, if they died tomorrow, it would impact my life directly. I know that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. And so, and all of them are vaccinated. So I don't care about anybody else. Let's get on with it. But 40% is fine with me, and hopefully it does make a difference because the Grizzlies need to win that game. Before we look ahead, let's look back to yesterday. On one hand, the Grizzlies were down 17 and never really looked like they were going to win that game. On the other hand, they were up 2 with about 5 minutes to go. What did you make of what we saw unfold yesterday in San Francisco?
You want me to be super honest about this?
I do.
You know, as a beat writer, especially one that has to file at the buzzer, you're writing that story that the Grizzlies already lost when they're down 17 the first go-around. I'm scrambling because I know that this is supposed to be, like, one of the best game stories of the year. It's the biggest game of the regular season. It's got to be good. And I'm working to make it perfect. And I, like, it was one of those things where you look up and it's closer, and you look up and it's closer, and you look up and Dylan Brooks scores the layup to tie it, or he hits the free throw to tie it, and you're like, oh, crap, I'm going to have to delete everything that I just wrote, you know? And so part of me had to just, like, go back and reassess what the hell just happened, what I watched, like, how they even came back. I almost missed the entire thing the first go-around because it just all felt like it happened so fast. But at the same time, and I think Dylan Brooks was right when he said, like, that this team doesn't exactly know how to win yet. And it just, they felt not outclassed, but they felt outperformed almost the full game. They got off to a great start, but once Steph got going and the Warriors got in a rhythm, and Andrew Wiggins has killed this team, Jordan Poole has killed this team earlier in the season in the first two games. And once you could sort of tell that they were playing well, in addition to Steph going nuclear, you kind of knew at that point that it wasn't going to be the Grizzlies' game. And I just don't think they're at the same point as the Golden State Warriors. And you saw that in the game yesterday. It felt like, and I don't like using the word outclassed, but for some reason that keeps popping up in my head. It's just like they didn't have the experience. They didn't have the fight in them at the end that Golden State had, and that was in the end the difference.
Is it possible to make it even simpler than that? That one team had Steph Curry and the other team didn't, and that's what it came down to.
Yeah, I think it is that easy. I mean, if you switched point guards, and this is not a shot at Ja Morant, and you gave Ja the Warriors, and you gave Steph Curry the Grizzlies, I mean, I don't think it's a contest, right?
Let's be clear, and I'm not taking a shot at Ja either. I love him to pieces. If you traded Ja Morant for Steph Curry and put Ja Morant on that Warriors team, they'd win 20 games.
Yeah. Well, they don't have – I mean, Steph Curry is their shooting. He is their shooting. Like, you know what I mean? The Warriors are worse team than the Grizzlies outside of their star player. For sure. I don't think there's any doubt the Grizzlies have better depth. They have better players around Ja Morant than Steph Curry has around him right now. But Steph Curry is so good. He is Ja's pick for the MVP. He's LeBron James's pick for the MVP. I think that should tell you all you need to know. He is so good that he can go out and win a game on his own. And that was always the fear of having to play Golden State in the play-in. Well, now you got the play-in to the play-in, and you just had your worst nightmare realized in that game. And guess what? You might have to go do it again if you win against the Spurs on Wednesday. So, yeah, it's the difference of having Steph Curry versus not having Steph Curry. Well, I think that going that simple is fair.
And the problem, of course, is that now to make the playoffs, before to make the playoffs, there was a scenario where You finish eighth. Now you got to go beat LeBron. And if you don't do that, then you're back home, and, yeah, you probably got to beat Steph, but it might be the Spurs. So we'll see. Now there is no path to the playoffs for the Grizzlies that doesn't include beating Steph Curry or LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the road. That's tough.
It's tough. It's not impossible. It's the same. When they went into the game against Golden State yesterday, I said the Grizzlies will be an underdog for sure, but that doesn't mean that this game is unwinnable. And you saw how well they played early in that game. Have they been able to keep that energy and Dylan Brooks stays out of foul trouble and they do a little bit better job? They had a few miscommunications on defense late in that game that really ended up costing them in the end, where they leave guys wide open for shots, including Steph, which you absolutely can't do. It's just inexcusable. If you clean those things up, it's not impossible to think that the Grizzlies have a chance of beating the Warriors. They might have a 40% chance of beating the Warriors, and you know what? That's pretty good. I still think that the Grizzlies can get to the playoffs. Now, I don't like their chances against LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I'll be honest. I don't think that they're quite as good against them. But I think that the Grizzlies will take care of business against the Spurs. They looked really good in the last two games against the Spurs. Ja has played well against them. Played without Jonas Valanciunas in those two games against the Spurs that they won back-to-back. So I like their chances against San Antonio. I just don't know if I like them against the other two teams. And the Warriors are not unbeatable. It's just hard when Steph Curry scores 46 points.
There is no doubt about that. They're not unbeatable. They've been beaten 33 times this season, but, you know, it became pretty clear for much of that game yesterday that, you know, if Steph was going to commit to taking the number of shots that he took, if he ever got hot in any little segment, it was going to be tough to keep up. Grizzlies end up losing by double digits. Last thing before I let you go, I was listening to Chris Harrington, your colleague, and Jeff Calkins, your colleague, talk this morning. And one of the things Harrington pointed out is that he's not sure it's a coincidence that the Grizzlies lost to the Spurs with Jonas playing, beat the Spurs twice without Jonas in the lineup. And so I know it's hard to balance those things because Jonas has been fabulous lately, as recently as yesterday. But Harrington seemed to think that there might be a style problem that the Spurs present that makes Jonas's job on Wednesday night fairly difficult with one driver after another trying to get into the paint. Listen, nobody is going to suggest you shouldn't play Jonas Valanciunas, but do you recognize that as a possible issue? The way the Spurs attack offensively can be problematic for somebody like Jonas Valanciunas, who isn't the best in the world at help defense and guarding in space.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't want to discredit his point, because obviously Jonas matches up better with the bigs that are similar to him, just the Goliath type, but not super athletic, and is going to play under the basket most of the game. The Spurs don't really use those types of bigs. So on the surface, yes. I could also argue that it plays to his advantage a little bit too. Like, I think that he's plenty capable of scoring against the Spurs. I think he's plenty capable of playing a good game. Like, it kind of goes both ways. And with the way he has been playing, and it's been terrific, I want Jonas Valanciunas on the floor for his typical amount of minutes. I'm not getting into the matchup thing maybe so much as Chris is, and I'm just going to take it at face value. And that's kind of just the type of person I am. Like, I just want my best five on the floor. I'll deal with whatever I have to deal with. Let's keep him on the floor. And I think Jaren plays better when he's beside him. So, yeah, maybe it's a little bit of a challenge. But you could also just argue whether the Grizzlies win or lose on Wednesday is going to depend on which Grizzlies show up. Is it going to be the Grizzlies that showed up against Orlando and Detroit, or is it going to be the Grizzlies that showed up in Milwaukee and against the Clippers at home this year? Because they've had plenty of games where they've looked great and plenty of games where they just haven't. And if they don't show up with the urgency and intensity, and it felt like they were lacking it a little bit in the game in San Francisco yesterday, if they don't show up with that for the full 48, the Spurs team can easily beat them on the road. So to me, that matters more than anything else, any matchups, anything you want to look at. Which Grizzlies team's going to show up? Is DeAnthony Melton and Dylan Brooks going to hit shots? That's period. End the story for me.
That is Drew Hill. He's a Memphis Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian. Make sure you read him, dailymemphian.com. Find him on Twitter, at DrewHill_DM. Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, thanks. See you, Gary.
Bye-bye. That's Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. When we come back, an inspector who failed for years, Bennett, not days, not weeks, not months, years, to spot a fracture that led to last week's sudden I-40 shutdown, has been fired and could face criminal charges. Arkansas officials said earlier today, has our bordering state been employing for years the worst bridge inspector ever? Sounds like it. We'll talk about it next. Listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Baseball players may not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using code WRIGHT100, WRIGHT100. And if you place a $1 moneyline wager on either the Braves or the Mets, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. After the baseball's left the park, there's no reason to leave your seat. Discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code WRIGHT100, WRIGHT100, to win $100 when you bet on either the Braves or the Mets. And either team hits a home run. Swing for the fences with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Must be 21 years or older and you must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my wife, my mother, my children all go to the dentist. And what makes the Smile Center so great is that you don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see family. The Smile Center, of course, it is Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place. It's at 1941 South Germantown Road. And I'm thrilled to let you know that Dr. Mady and his entire clinical staff have been vaccinated. So the Smile Center really might be the safest place in America. Good news! Smile Center is currently accepting new patients. And for those who have lost dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. You can get more information by calling 901-309-1333. And if you're interested in improving your smile via the Zoom whitening process, you can get $100 off for a limited time just by mentioning the Gary Parrish Show. I trust Dr. Mady with my family. You can do the same. It's the Smile Center at 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, 309-1333. It's the Smile Center on the web, SmileCenterMemphis.com. That's SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Hey, I'm Brian. As an aspiring baker, I've got a lot of secret ingredients. But my best one yet? Metro by T-Mobile. Metro gave me and the family high-speed data for only $25 a line for 4 lines and covered the switching fees. Plus, they threw in 4 free Galaxy phones just for switching. Now we can post pictures of my latest bakes and get out the word so the whole town knows I'm whipping up something sweet. How's that for stretching some serious dough?
You work hard for your money. With Metro by T-Mobile, it goes further. This tax season, there's zero fees to switch. Right now, enjoy Metro's lowest price. Just $25 a line for 4 lines with taxes and fees included. Plus 4 free Samsung Galaxy phones when you switch. Now that's the best deal in wireless.
I'm Brian, and that's how I rule my day with Metro by T-Mobile.
All lines lose promo rate if any deactivates. Sales tax and regulatory fees included in price. 0 fee on select phones. Limit 1 free phone per line with port. Excludes sales tax. Limited time offer. Additional terms apply. See Metro by T-Mobile.com.
This is Jeff Calkins. You've been hearing me talk about the virtues and benefits of Triumph Bank. Now let's hear from their customers.
My father started LSI 41 years ago, and I spent many summers with him. He was going through some photos and found a picture of me in a high chair sitting next to a laminator when I was probably 2. Working with my dad was awesome. He taught me a lot of things. And now that I've got 3 boys, all of them want to be a part of it. It's very rewarding driving around Memphis and seeing your product all over the place. Whether it's a vehicle driving down the street at a red light or going to a sporting event and seeing your banners or your signage. The most rewarding thing is being able to bring jobs to the local market and be able to see it in their face when they show up every day knowing that they're going to get a paycheck. Pretty much whatever we need to grow the business, Triumph is there. They're behind us to fund us and to keep us growing and to help us keep going for another 40 years. I am Mason Ezell, and this is my Triumph.
Triumph Bank, your story, your growth, your triumph.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Screaming about the car dealer, the last temptation of Mike.
Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah office park, on the web, coopersystems.com. And they've been a part of the Gary Parrish Show for more than 11 years now. Been here since day one, the entire time, been selling all types of computers and repairing all types of computers for people throughout the city. High-end machines, low-end machines, middle-of-the-road machines, desktops, notebooks, tablets, big brands like Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus, Apple, whatever you need. Cooper Systems either has it, or they can get it, or they can build it for you. And yes, as noted, they also handle computer repair. I'm talking data recovery. You got a power supply issue, they can fix that for you. A USB port issue, they can fix that for you. You cracked your screen, they can fix your screen. They handle virus removal. I know you might have a machine overrun with viruses because you was Googling some wild stuff, boy. And now you're embarrassed to take it to Lee and Lauren Cooper or anybody else for that matter because you don't want them to see, like, you know what you don't want them to see. Here's the truth. Yes, at Cooper Systems, they will be able to see that. That's how they're going to clean your machine up. So, you know, you ain't hiding nothing. But long as it's legal, who cares how distasteful it might be or how wild it might be? Whatever you're into, you're into. Cooper Systems, they ain't there to judge you. They're just there to fix your machine. So take it to them. The number's 360-9679, 360-9679. They're on the web, coopersystems.com. Jeff Cargan's going to be here after a little after 5 o'clock. He owns dogs. Takes pictures of lots of pictures. Picture after picture after picture. My God. Right now, though, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
An inspector who fell for years to spot a fracture that led to last week's sudden I-40 shutdown has been fired and could face charges, Arkansas officials said today. It's the first sentence of the story, commercialappeal.com. It continues this way. Arkansas Department of Transportation officials confirm the fracture that halted traffic on the I-40 bridge has existed since 2019 and was overlooked by an employee of the department multiple times. Listen to this quote from Lori Tudor. She's in charge of all this. From our investigation, we have determined the same employee who conducted the inspection in 2019 and 2020 failed to carry out his responsibilities correctly. The employee, she said, was terminated from his position earlier today. Dude, it's your only job.
Yeah, I saw the pictures from 2019. I mean, the crack is pretty visible.
It's a crack.
You can see that crack.
It's a crack, man.
Yeah, I mean, how'd you miss it?
He didn't. I don't think he was properly inspecting. I think that's the most obvious answer. He wasn't properly inspecting.
He was just doing a quick glance. Yeah, like, this bridge will be fine.
Like, anybody ever told you, like, you'll get to this day as your son gets older.
Yeah.
It'll be like, hey, look over this homework. And you're like, yeah, it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back.
And they fail.
They missed a couple questions. Like, yo, didn't you look over this? I'm like, I skimmed it. Looked good, you know. We maybe do more than skim it. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe give it a good looking over. Now your kid's failing third grade. And you're like, ah, geez. Should have looked over that better.
Yeah.
But guess what? Nobody had a potential of dying because my kid missed a spelling word.
That's true.
This bridge inspector put us all at risk. Think about how many times we've been on that bridge, Big Bet Bennett.
Man, and when will we get on it again?
I can't trust it.
I mean, goodness gracious.
I don't know if I can ever trust that bridge again.
It's been a disaster.
I don't know if I can ever trust that bridge again.
I mean, I'm going to trust they're going to put it back together good.
I just assume at some point it will make the Mets will be in St. Louis and we'll say, hey, you know, let's go to Busch Stadium this weekend to see the Mets. And I'll say, we're taking the old bridge. I can't trust that new bridge.
Now, we got conflicting reports last week on what a bridge inspector makes. Like, some people were saying it was like 40 grand, and some were saying it was like 100 grand. So, I don't know what exactly a bridge inspector makes, but if it's closer to 100 grand, dude, I would love that job. Like, well, my gosh.
Well, a friend of mine told me.
I could do a great job of that.
A friend of mine told me, well, you couldn't do worse. You, like, actually couldn't do worse. A friend of mine told me it was like $100 an hour per inspection. That's what you're getting.
Okay.
So how long does it take to inspect? Here's the thing. If you really are getting paid by the hour, why would you just scan it over. Why wouldn't you go, well, it's going to be a nine-hour job today.
Yeah, I'm going to take all day.
I'm going to look at this thing all day long. I don't understand what happened
And
here.
You get to, like, be, like, at the river. Like, it's probably nice and scenic. Pretty. You could see the city background like that. Why wouldn't you want to be on that bridge looking at it?
I can't. You're asking questions I can't answer, Big Bet Bennett. This was interesting, I read. Maintenance and upkeep of the bridge is split between Arkansas and Tennessee. Arkansas is responsible for the annual inspections, and Tennessee is responsible for the repairs. We did our part.
We did our part.
Arkansas failed us.
I think Arkansas failed us here, and I love Arkansas. I'm a big fan of Arkansas, of the state of Arkansas, and I just...
In what ways? What do you love so much about
Arkansas? I like
going.
It's beautiful. There's great places to, like, go on a trip there. It's, you know, great scenery. I like the Hogs.
I like Hogs.
I like the Hogs, man. I like the Razorbacks. I like Arkansas.
I like Arkansas, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They got
I don't want to do the blame game here on Tennessee and Arkansas, but someone clearly missed the mark here.
Clearly missed the mark. And
just, the crack.
Just as a matter of record, not to point fingers, but, like, it's a statement of fact. Somebody missed the mark, and that somebody was employed by Arkansas.
That's true.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, we
got to say it.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
What I'm saying facts right now. So Arkansas failed as much as I like Arkansas. They got that Ponchos over there. They got incredible.
Oh, that Ponchos rules.
They got incredible wiffle ball players.
Really?
Like,
they used to come over and beat y'all up pretty good?
All the time. And they're dedicated to their craft. Best, I would argue best wiffle ball players in the world reside in West Memphis, Arkansas. Maybe Marion.
Gotcha.
Maybe Blyville.
Made the trip over that crack bridge and just cracked some heads on the
wiffle ball
field.
You know how many wiffle ball players we could have lost over the years trying to cross that bridge?
You ain't kidding.
We could have lost an entire generation of wiffle ball players.
Now, we do. I'm seeing a breaking update on the bridge. This is from Shay Arthur of WREG. The Kiewit Corporation of Omaha, Nebraska has been chosen as the contractor to make repairs to the I-40 bridge. Repairs will be done in two phases. This announcement comes hours after RDOT fired the inspector that failed to notice the fracture in 2019.
I want a name on this inspector, Lori Tudor. Why do I know Lori Tudor's name, but I can't know the failed bridge inspector's name?
What do we think about Nebraska coming in and fixing our bridge?
I like Omaha.
You like Omaha? Okay.
So
we should feel safe about them doing this job, right?
I mean, I can't speak to that, but
yeah.
I enjoyed my time there.
Yeah.
Every time I've been to Omaha, I've enjoyed it.
And those are
got
like
nice steakhouses and stuff.
Yeah, and those are like, you know, they're working the cornfields and stuff. Like they get their hands dirty. I feel like they're probably good at like repairing stuff.
I got to figure if we're bringing them in from all the way in Nebraska, they know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so maybe they'll get this thing done. But Lori Tudor, we need a name on this bridge inspector.
Yeah, put a name on it.
This man put our lives at risk for more than 2 years by not properly inspecting a bridge. He deserves to be publicly ridiculed. Give me a name, Lori Tudor.
Story number two.
Kentucky added a point guard today named Sevier Wheeler. He led the SEC in assists last season playing at Georgia, and now he's going to be a Kentucky Wildcat. And John Calipari's putting together quite the team. I know people in Memphis don't like to see Kentucky bounce back, but it appears that Kentucky's going to bounce back. What were the problems with last season's team? But they're going to bounce back in an unconventional way. The problems with last year's team were, there were a lot of problems with last year's team. But the two most obvious things, they were young and they could not shoot. They're young and they couldn't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Too young, can't shoot, bad combination. Now they're going to be an old team that can shoot. In the past several weeks, they've added C.J. Frederick, transfer from Iowa. He'll be in his third year of college basketball, older. Shot 46% from three as a freshman, 47% from three as a sophomore. They've added Kellen Grady, a fifth-year player, shot 38.2% from three last season at Davidson. He's already scored 2,000 career points. Old, can shoot. They've added a five-star point guard in Ty Washington, who is acknowledged as a shooter. And then they secure a commitment from another transfer today. And Sevier Wheeler, who is not really a shooter, but he's a great run-your-team point guard. So now Kentucky's going to be in a situation next season where at all times, if they want, they have multiple ball handlers on the court and multiple shooters on the court. And sometimes often it's three shooters on the court. If you go Ty Washington, Kellen Grady, and C.J. Frederick. And because Kellen Grady's 6'5", he can comfortably play the 1, 2, or 3. So you could have multiple ball handlers, multiple shooters at all times, and a former leading scorer and rebounder at West Virginia and Oscar Tshiebwe in the middle. Like, I've moved Kentucky up to 14th in the top 25 and one, but you could reasonably move them up higher. John Calipari is going to have a team that is theoretically, on paper, good enough to compete for another Final Four.
Story number three.
Quincy Guerrier, a transfer from Syracuse, announced today that he is going to announce his college decision Thursday at 3 o'clock Central Time. And the only reason I'm telling you this is because he has cut his list to four, and those four schools are Illinois, Arizona State, Oregon, and the University of Memphis. I'm not sure Memphis should be considered the leader right now. I'm not sure Memphis is going to get this player. But if you were to add him to the roster already in place, it's the type of thing that people with jobs like my job could go, okay, it's time to put Memphis in the preseason top 25. Like, this is a real player. You know, there's a billion players in the transfer portal. 98% of them don't matter at all. This is a real player. This is somebody who will help whatever school he decides to attend. And right now, Oregon's already in the top 25 and one, so with him, they just get better. But if Memphis could get him, he's the type of player where I'd have to look at it. Don't hold me to anything. But you'd certainly have Memphis in a conversation to be ranked heading into the preseason. So we'll get that announcement on Thursday at 3 o'clock, and I'm certain it'll return to four notable stories at 4:44 on that day.
Story number four.
Albert Pujols signed a major league deal with the L.A. Dodgers earlier today, moving 30 miles north to extend his career